3, 2, 1.
After eating 57 fish tacos, Lawrence quickly learned you can have too much of a good thing. Bradley.
Tonight we're talking about skate, or how your granddad likes fate. You know he likes to clap them cheeks, and he's using his proud mate. Welcome to Proud Meat. Yeah, we're back. It's been a minute. Not really.
No.
You might have just listened to an episode. It hasn't been a minute.
For us, it's been a minute. It's been at least a week.
So, we got a very special episode, and we're starting it out with a beer that we don't often get our hands on.
Yeah. So, just to put this in some context where this beer came from, me and Britt, we spent... 3 days down in the southern part of West Virginia, kind of close to the area where I'm from, down in the New River Gorge area. And in Fayetteville, for such a small little town, they have some good breweries there. They're really blowing up down there. And we went to Free Folk Brewery, which I had not previously had anything by them. We got there on a Wednesday, and Free Folk, if you hear this, you were closed. You were closed, Free Folk. Why would you do it to me? So we had to go just buy bottles and bring them home. So, Jared, what are we drinking?
We are drinking Moondog Blonde Ale. Says that it's balanced, malt-forward, and golden sweetness. Weighs in at 4.5% ABV. We got a 22-ounce that we're splitting. And it is incredibly foamy.
It really is. So I cracked this open and I started pouring it, and I don't think I'm exaggerating here that I might have gotten an inch of liquid in the bottom of the cup, and the head was up to the top, like the rim of this cup. It was absolutely crazy.
Somehow it weighs more now.
Yeah, it's crazy. So we finally got the cups filled up by sucking some foam off the top. So
it smells good.
Yeah, it does. It's actually not a bad beer. I'm kind of enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean, I would not, like you said a minute ago, it's not very malt forward. It's actually kind of like hoppy.
The more I drink it, the more I'm getting the malt, though.
Okay, I guess I just need to stop sucking the foam and actually get the liquid in there.
Yeah, try it. Yeah, it's actually really good.
I want to say, this, with all the foam and everything, we got a really good smell.
Oh, it smells really good.
And it actually has like a berry smell to it.
It does. Yep, it's got kind of a berry vibe to it. Yeah. Man, I'm enjoying the hell out of that, actually. That's a good beer. If I could get that in... like a 4-pack or a 6-pack, I'd probably drink that quite a bit. And right before we cracked this open, we were drinking another one that we never get our hands on. This was my first beer from this brewery. They're also right here in the state of West Virginia. They're called Bad Shepherd Brewing out of Charleston, West Virginia. And Jared, do you want to explain what we were trying from them?
Maize Day Appalachias. I believe that's how you're going to say that. Yeah. Bloody Butcher Corn, Mexican-style lager. And this one was kind of surprising. It weighs in at 5.3% ABV.
Yep.
We each had our own 16-ounce can. And this, when you crack it open, immediately it hits you with the smell of corn.
It does. Like, yep. Yeah. And if you're not sure what Bloody Butcher Corn is... it's like kind of a red variety of corn that kind of grows in this area, and we're seeing more places use it. Short story, if you're listening to this, you used to have Bloody Butcher Hush Puppies.
Yeah.
I would fucking love to have those again. Please do it.
I talked to someone about them the other day, and
Yeah, they didn't know what they were.
No, I don't know how.
This was like 2 years ago.
There at that time. Yeah. They were like, they'll tell me about all the beers they were bringing back from 2 years ago. And I'm like, you don't remember the Hush Puppies? And
oh,
like,
the Hush Puppies were so fucking good. All right. So, yeah, as they mentioned, guys, tonight we have a special treat for everybody. We had a chance to watch a few movies that we're going to talk about very, very shortly. So I'm going to start it off like this. Growing up, as a horror movie fanatic, one of my favorite releasing companies was Dark Sky Films. They always seemed to be putting out some really cool modern horror. They always had some really cool old school horror. My first DVD copy of Texas Chainsaw Massacre was a Dark Skies release. They've always been really cool. Their story of what they did for Adam Green and the Hatchet series has always been heartwarming for me. So it was really cool to get a chance to check out one of their movies. And that's what we did last night. The whole Proud Meat team got a chance to screen a very, I'm going to call it an interesting movie. I'm anxious to hear what everyone else thinks about it, because me and Brittany didn't talk about it at all after we watched it. And me and Jared talked about one small thing before we started. If you hear a train in the background, we're sorry. We're poor and we don't have the best studio on earth. Or a studio at all. So, just
we're hobos on the side of the road under a bridge.
You're listening to Proud Meat Hobo Camp Edition. All right. the first movie we watched was called Hosts. And it is, it's going to be distributed by, it looks like, Dark Sky Films. So this was directed by Adam Leader and Richard Oakes. It was written by Adam Leader. It's from the UK, and it is billed as a horror movie, and I think it definitely lives up to that title.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's got a short runtime. That's what I noticed really early on. Actually, both of the movies we watched last night had a short running time. That's I don't know. If you had the same experience. I felt like Hosts went way quicker than the second one. Like, I blinked and that movie was over, and I was like, holy shit. Like, I could use a little more of that. Yeah,
I definitely want more. I want a sequel.
I feel like they left it in the right spot.
Yes, they did.
Okay, yeah. So let's just jump right into it. So, Jared, I'll let you start off, because I watched it with Brittany, and I could kind of tell by some of her facial expressions how she felt about it.
Go ahead.
It does a really good job of character development and bringing you into people that you care about. And then just flipping a switch for you. It does.
So what we'll do is let's go ahead and do a non-spoiler review right now, because there is only one scene I want to spoil in this movie, and we'll get to it here in just a minute. I'll give you a spoiler alert before we get there. So, Jared, what's your non-spoiler take on this movie?
It is... I liked it. First of all, I'll just start out by saying I liked it. I'm going to just, like, use one word, and I'm just going to go brutality.
Oh, yeah.
The rest of it's just speechless.
Yeah, there's, like, some really interesting concepts. Some of the special effects they use are simple, but super effective.
Oh yeah.
I'd say the, like, most effective.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm at a kind of a loss for how I feel about this movie. Just because it really did have the scene, which we're going to talk about here in a little bit in our spoilery review. It has, so what Jared's talking about when he said it builds characters, they do a really good job of, first off, I thought the first two characters we meet were going to be the characters that we follow, that is quickly dashed. And had I read the synopsis for this movie, it was already dashed in that. So I know I can kind of give that away a little bit. So you pretty much meet your two, I'm going to call them, like, hapless villains before they become villains. And
they are
delightful
before.
They are. Yeah, they are.
The preview that we watched that was just, like, kind of up on, like, YouTube, I kind of got that was probably going to be the point. But... so I don't think we're spoiling anything by saying that. Right. Watch the preview. You're
right there. You know, this movie, it takes place on Christmas Eve, and it starts off so wholesome and so family centered that you almost feel like you're about to just watch, like, you know, you're watching a horror movie because you know what you're getting into from the opening of the movie, from the first 10 minutes of the movie or so. You know what you're into. But for a minute, just a minute. I thought what we were going to see is like family bonds holding people together through this adverse situation.
Yep.
And they're building this loving, interesting family. It had like I felt some real emotion in one part, and I was like, oh my god, this is actually. And then it's shattered, and we'll talk about why here in just a little bit. This movie is it's fucking brutal. I'm not even. There's no other way to say it. That's the word that came to my mind too. My mind as well. It was brutal
and disgusting and gross.
Yeah.
And visceral.
Yeah.
Extremely visceral.
Oh, very.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say all the acting was very good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some of the twists and turns it took were a little unexpected.
What I'm going to say, the two people, and I'm pulling up their names right now, guys. I'm sorry I don't have them up already. But the two who play the villains in this movie, the your bad guys. It's Samantha Loxley is the lady villain,
yes.
And Neil Ward is the guy. I don't know that I've ever seen two actors take a turn quite that stark. Because they were very interesting characters from the very get-go. I mean, you even get a chance to learn about them and their relationship, and they start to build those characters, and you actually start to feel something for them. And then that's what I'm going to say, the writing on this, Adam Leader and Richard Oakes both get story credit, and it was actually written by Adam Leader. They do maybe one of the best jobs in recent memory of building characters, mm-hmm. just to rip your guts out with them. Yep. It's so deliberate and it's so fucking mean, and I just I loved it. I loved every second of it.
It's like everything in the beginning of the movie is just mm-hmm. building those characters. And with some films, character building seems a little tedious, and this was always just like you were just sitting there watching some people, and it felt natural. It felt great.
It starts out so cozy and cute and delightful. Like you see.
I want to spend Christmas there.
I know, I do too.
I don't give a shit about Christmas, but I want to spend Christmas there.
You see a guy in a field going hunting, and he's coming back from it, and he's in a Santa outfit. And it's so cute.
It's adorable.
And one guy puts on like a really cute little sweater, and it's like, oh, he's got a cozy little sweater on. And a lady makes a turkey, and the turkey looks so beautiful, and I just want to sit at the table and eat with them.
I don't think it's a turkey. I think it was.
Oh, you're right. It's the hens, pheasant or the pheasants. Quail.
Yeah.
It's
birds. Something like that. It's birds.
It's a bird.
It's birds. They're cooking birds.
They're cooking some birds.
I
talked about the hunting too.
There are not a lot of moments in movies that shock me anymore. There were some moments in this movie that genuinely not only caught me off guard, but once they caught me off guard, the brutality of those scenes stuck with me. I mean, they just really stuck with me. There was one scene in particular where I want to give a huge shout out to who ends up being your main, I guess you could call her the heroine of the movie.
Yeah.
Nadia Lehman, the daughter, and her brother Lee Hunter, who's played by Lee Hunter. They have a scene in the attic where these two people are torturing this family, and they have this scene in the attic that just like it felt visceral and sad and
nasty.
Depressing and nasty, and it's like I don't know there's a part of me that loves nihilistic storytelling, and this was nihilism at its peak. I mean, this is a nihilistic movie. If you're looking for fucking happy, stay home if you're looking for a happy story where people get what they want at the end. This is not your movie. This movie has a lot going on. And not only that, some of the themes in this movie with Christianity and paganism and British history were really interesting. Did you catch any of those?
I want to hit the spoiler button real quick, like soon.
Yeah,
because I want to talk about that and just know more about it, because I got like a few pieces of the subtext there, but I'm sure that I missed a lot of it.
Yeah, I'm sure I did too, and I'm going to have to watch it a second time. By the way, this movie, if you're trying to listen to this just for the review without the spoilers, we will say spoilers here in just a minute. So just so you guys know, let me pull up the information on when this bad boy gets released. So this movie is getting released on digital and video on demand on October 2nd. I'm sure you can find it, you know, pretty much everywhere you would find movies like that. I think it's on here somewhere where you can find it at. But just check this thing out on YouTube. Watch a trailer for it. Again, it gets released on video on demand and digital platforms on October 2nd. I'm recommending this movie big time. I think you should go watch this movie. I'm going to put up a review on Letterboxd later on tonight so that I can really, really go all out. But I'm going to say I'm probably going to give this movie a 4 out of 5-ish. Right in that range. I thought it was not only well made. I thought the narrative construction was really, really interesting. It had some of the most beautiful shots. The set design. Oh my gosh! And even the score was really, really good. Enjoyed the hell out of it.
I also want to point out if you're looking for just a straight review of the gore, it's top notch.
It is. Oh, yeah. It is. What I'm gonna tell you guys. Also, so I watched it because I started to get this idea right after the first big moment of gore that maybe we weren't going to see as much gore as I thought we were going to see. And yeah, it's really the whole thing pivots around two really gory scenes, and the rest of it is more, and there's some really nasty stuff. We'll hit the spoiler button now. Like I said, I'm giving it a 4 out of 5. Do you want to rate it at all?
I'm right with you.
Yeah, 4 out of 5.
I'll just say I think it's Proud Meat Approved.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say that too. Yeah, it's Proud Meat Approved. I'd say go watch this movie.
Definitely watch it as soon as you can.
It's definitely one of my favorite movies from this year that I've seen so far. Really, really well done.
It was a real surprise because when I heard we were getting like a movie to watch, I kind of thought it would be, you know, something just like really... I don't know, basic or backwoods or something like that.
We're not used to great movies on Proud Meat. We're used to shit Matt makes us watch. That's what Jared's trying to say.
Yeah, I thought we were going to be getting something of like the new age of Ninja Buster or something.
Don't fucking make fun of Ninja Busters and don't make fun of Fall Break. All right?
We know.
Could always be Blood Lake. We could always go back to that well.
Yeah, we could.
I love it.
So, but yeah, I was really surprised by just like the quality we could put right there.
Yeah. So, again, Adam Leader and Richard Oakes, our hats off to you guys. You did a hell of a job. You really did. It's a fun movie to a point, and then it is nihilistic nastiness after that. So, spoilers. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Okay, let's just jump straight into the scene.
To the scene we all want to talk about.
Okay, so this the scene where they're at the dinner
table. It's Christmas. The dinner table
it's
scene.
This so
heartwarming.
Yeah, it's heartwarming. Great. Mom starts to give a speech about her disease.
Yeah, and she's in remission.
This thing goes on so long that it takes me entirely out of expecting anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think she's about to say, like, guys, I'm dying. This is it.
Yeah. We had a totally different reaction to it than what you did, I think. And let me explain why I'm saying that. Because what you just now said is it went on so long you stopped expecting anything. Me and Brittany were sitting right here watching it, and she said, where did he go? Because you remember the boyfriend, Jack, gets up and walks away from the table.
Out.
And you see right before that that she has the hammer under the table. And me and Brittany the whole time, we were fixated on her. Every time she was on there, we were like, what the fuck is she going to do? I thought
he was coming back.
Me too. I thought he was going to come back with the gun, which he eventually does. But when she reaches across the table and just nonchalantly whacks the mom in the fucking head with a hammer, and then the blood starts to come down, and I was like, oh, that's kind of nasty, because it's got this sound
and
to
I
it.
Definitely thought that was it, and
me
I thought,
too
okay, the dad and the brother are gonna like step in and stop her, maybe, or like hold her back. You can't hold her back.
No, I thought what was gonna happen, if I'm being honest, I thought when she hit her in the head, it came as a bit of a surprise. I didn't think it would be that quick. Mm-hmm. I thought her head was just gonna hit the table and we were gonna see like blood spurting everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
She beats the mom's head with a fucking hammer until it's literally mush.
Yeah.
Until it's literally fucking mush.
And it is spraying all over the family, all over the meal, all over her. It is... grotesque and amazing.
Yeah, like, it is. Like, it's
how
beautiful.
How brutal and continuous this smashing is, and with such violence and anger.
This scene is going to go down at... People are going to talk about this scene for a long time.
Yeah, a long time.
What it reminds me of, and I'm not sure if this is what the filmmakers are going for. So, guys, if you hear this and you would like to chime in and tell me if we're right or not, it reminded me a lot of the scene in Texas Chainsaw Massacre where they're putting like the hammer in the Grandpa's hand and trying to get him to beat that lady in the head with it. But also
in that vein of like forcing them to stay at the table.
Yeah. Oh, and then eat. They're like, eat. Like, there's
like
not even...
Like,
screams
at
them. Like, have some food. And then one of them kind of does. And I was like, oh, it's got her blood all over.
Yeah.
And then the even almost as brutal scene when he pulls her away from the table and her, like, what's left of her head smacks again.
Yeah.
And then they show the hallway and the family's walking where he drug the mother's body.
And he doesn't just drag it. He doesn't drag it like a killer does.
Yeah.
He drags it like a little kid drags a teddy bear behind
him. Oh, it's nasty. Yeah. It's... It's this movie's
Which
fucking
fits
nasty.
The theme a
it's
bit.
I did not expect this. I didn't expect that level of just absolute brutality.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other really brutal death scene is the dad. The mom and dad get it bad. The way he's stabbing the dad at the end of
just
it.
Just the back and forth
I
and
know.
Just
the movie's so it's, crazy. I honestly forgot how he dies.
Oh, it's almost as nasty as the way the mom dies, but it's more expected, which makes it less of an impact.
Yeah, it's frenzied
and
honestly, overkill.
Honestly, other than that, there's not a lot of other super gory scenes. Because there's some real gross. If you think back, aren't those the only two real death scenes in the whole movie?
There's the hanging and...
Yeah, there's the hanging. That's a third.
But not violent. I mean, it's not...
Yeah, there's not a lot of death in this movie, believe it or not. They just use it very effectively.
Yeah, you've only got so many family members, and they do different things with all of them.
Yeah.
One of the things I wanted to like come to is the tooth extraction.
Yes.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that was just for the thrill of it or it just shows the body dysmorphia of this thing in them.
I am going to have to watch this movie a few times because there are normally when you watch a movie like this because like I mean honestly go watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre, go watch brutal movies like that. There's not always a ton of like layers to storytelling. This has some layers to it. This has some layers that need to be peeled back, and I'm gonna have to watch it more because I feel like we're gonna come back to this well and talk about this one again, because there were also like the other thing that reminded me of a lot was Night of the Living Dead. Not only because like all of the creature things start to show up near the end, but the way they present the idea of these lights on the TV. Where they tell the story that, you know, something happened and people are seeing lights floating all over the place.
And they're having to tune in to turn.
Yeah, they're having to tune in to turn. It's really, really interesting. I don't know quite where they were going with this. I feel like it has to have something to do with the way... I'm guessing because of some of the imagery that was used, the way Christianity or Abrahamic religions... overtook the pagan cultures that used to exist there.
I was on the fence of whether like these were supposed to be demons, but the little speech they give makes me think like is it more about like some kind of like fey folk or something are coming up
there. This has shades.
Like the body snatchers thing too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It had. So, I mean, you're talking Night of the Living Dead is definitely in there. Texas Chainsaw Massacre is in there somewhere. Invasion of the Body Snatchers is in there somewhere. All mixed in with some real interesting folkish horror elements, especially the dad walking across the field dressed as Santa with the dead birds over his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
It just has a British folky horror vibe to it.
Saying on the news that it's happening during the solstice.
Yeah, that's the other thing too, is they specifically mention that.
So people are shying away from like conventional religion.
Oh, and the other thing too, they're coming out of that mine shaft, right? Is what they're supposed to be coming out of, I believe?
Yes.
Yeah, and the dad was a miner. They mention that in the movie. So
okay, yeah, they mentioned a whole lot of stuff about
he was laid off. Someone was laid off from a mine. Yeah, this movie is
maybe it was the father's father. They said something about he was never really himself after he got out of the mine.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe that's what it was. Okay, so yeah, this movie, there's a lot. I honestly, I'm going to say the one downfall, and this is not really a downfall necessarily, is it could have been 30 minutes longer, and I would have loved it. I would have had so much fun watching more of it. And I'm not going to say that all the time. I love short, punchy, to-the-point movies. I could have dealt with another 20 or 30 minutes of this just because there was so much going on, man. And that scene I'm talking about, by the way, I think that's the most brutal scene in the movie, is the one in the attic where the sister's holding the gun to the brother. And he's screaming at her, and it's just
I'm gonna say I picked sides real early on in that.
Oh, her.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I don't know why.
I was like, have you seen these people? You're doing them a favor.
Yeah,
yes,
kill him.
Do it.
I can kill him. I mean, I'd have been like, okay, it's fun. I'm not really. I don't think I would. I'd probably yell too. But it got me. This movie is interesting, and I'm gonna pay close attention to when this comes out in a physical format and see if there's a version that has some deleted scenes or something in there. Maybe we can get a chance to, even if we can just do a quick phone conversation and talk to these filmmakers, because I want to know more about this.
Oh yeah,
this is a great movie. This is top-notch horror in every way. The ending being left so ambiguous like that. Like you said, it leaves it open for a sequel. The part with the teeth. Oh, my God. Yeah, where she pulls the teeth out. And I'm thinking about that because the little brother, you know, hands up, you know, being one of them. This is great horror.
Yeah,
this is
really good. Like the whole thing about, like, I don't know if it's supposed to be a conversion through force or something like that.
I don't know.
Just some interesting stuff, and I love the writing too.
Yeah, the writing's great. I'm going to say the top three performances. I already mentioned the two from the very beginning, who I just absolutely loved, and then the main heroine, the main lady in the movie, Nadia Lehman, who plays Lauren. Man, they really put her through hell and back, and she does a great job. She does a really good job in that movie. She has some really horrifying scenes too, where she's being drugged across, like, through the house by her hair.
Oh yeah,
really
intense.
When he
talks to her at the table.
Oh yeah, when he talks to her at the table
and looks her face, it's so gross.
Oh, it is. It's real gross.
Yeah. And earlier, I had thought that another thing that is a theme in their horror sometimes is the way they pointed out his haircut.
What do you mean their horror?
Well, it's
racist.
Not ours. It's not American. You got me.
All right, go ahead. I'm just messing with you.
Well, they pointed out that he had just cut his hair like that, and then he has that coat, and he looks really reminiscent of a Nazi soldier.
You said that, and I didn't even pick up on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess
and
so.
And he has
I
a
guess
gun.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, guys. Proud Meat approved all the way. I'm really glad. I was worried about what everyone would think about this movie, because it is such a it's just such a nihilistic movie. I these are the movies I love. I love nobody gets a happy ending. Like, everything's just shit and everybody's dead, and it's just so this really played up well for me.
I usually prefer a happy ending, but.
Yeah, Brittany normally does. She even said last night at the end of it, she's like, well, these are the types of endings I hate, but I still love this. I was like, oh, good. I remember the first time she watched Electra Glide in Blue with me, where the main character just gets fucking blown off his motorcycle with
a
shotgun. And then the last shot of the movie is just his motorcycle without a rider just going down the highway until it just crashes. It's a great, great moment. Yeah, she also loves Vanishing Point for the end. all right, so yeah, great movie. But we have another one we got to get to, too.
Yeah.
So let me go ahead and pull it up. Brittany, do you want to introduce this next one?
Sure. We also watched The Honeymoon Phase. That one was made last year, I believe.
I know it was released in August on video on demand.
Okay, yeah. And two struggling young lovers must survive a 30-day experiment to uncover the secret. behind the honeymoon phase.
Okay. So yeah, this movie, it was made in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, PA, when I looked it up. So this was released...
kind of sort of tell.
Yeah, this was released, I think it premiered in Philly back in November of last year. So you're definitely right about it being a 2019 movie. And it was released digitally back on August 21st. But the big thing with this one that I want to talk about is it gets its home video release on DVD tomorrow, which will be September 29th. If you're listening to this on September 29th, it's today. It gets released on home video on September 29th.
We'll probably get it.
Yeah, we were excited about this movie. I thought it looked interesting. I'm a big science fiction fan, and this one, when I watched the trailer, really felt like it was going to have a little bit of a horror bent to it, and I definitely wasn't wrong on that. It definitely had a horror bent to it. Let's talk about it a little bit. So, the story, again, I'm going to say that this filmmaker, whose name is, let me get everything pulled up here so we have it. Philip Carroll. Yeah, so this was directed by Philip G. Carroll Jr. It was actually written and directed by him. I'm always a big fan when filmmakers get to write and direct their own work, so that's super cool.
Definitely.
Yeah. So this movie left me a little bit torn. The movie, like Brittany pointed out, it follows two I'll call them lovers, a boyfriend and girlfriend, who, this isn't a spoiler, I don't think.
Yeah, it's within the first 3 minutes of the
film. It's in the first 3 minutes. It's not going to hurt anything. They're not really married. They lie about being married to get into this because they're trying to get into this program where you have to live with the other person for 30 days, and you get $50,000.
They still know they haven't been together very long, though.
Yes.
He tells them it's probably not going to work out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There. So yeah, this movie is definitely intended to play on the idea of what you've always heard, which is, you know, the honeymoon phase. It's where you don't know so much about another person, and it's all about the emotions and the you know,
the excitement,
the excitement, the sex,
the learning phase. Yeah.
All that stuff.
They concentrate on a lot of the sex in this film.
They do. They definitely do. And the main character in this, or the two main characters, Jim Shubin plays Tom, and Chloe Carroll, the wife of the director, Philip G. Carroll Jr., plays Eve. And I'm going to say this ahead of time. They both turn in really good performances in this movie. Whether I love the movie or not, they both turn in really great performances.
Yeah.
Really believable. Even though some of the positions they're put in are less than believable to me, they turn in some really good performances. What do you guys think? We'll leave it right there. So yeah, they go to a place, they're put to sleep, and they wake up together in a house, and they have to live there for 30 days. So no spoilers yet. We'll turn on the spoiler alarm here in just a minute. What do you guys think?
I think I definitely would want to live in the house because it's so fun in sci-fi. Yeah. That they have this little thing that think like the vacuum tubes at a bank.
Yeah.
And you just tell it whatever you want and it pops up popcorn and cake and wine.
Vodka.
And
vodka. Yeah. Yeah. Me and Jared, right. Were on the same page on that one.
You want that teeny tiny little bottle of vodka? Send 40 of those, please.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then somehow they.
Yep, large bottles of champagne.
Yeah, I noticed that too. And then she's sitting there like punching it in that one scene, waiting for another one to come out. And I'm like, that's where I would be too.
There's like a dumbwaiter for the bigger items. I don't know.
I don't know. They never show it.
But
I saw the little bottle of vodka and immediately had this idea that I might be an alcoholic because I was like, I would just sit there and say vodka, 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 vodka. And then get like five of those bottles because I'm like, that's what I would need.
The premise feels like any of those things you ever see on social media of like, would you spend blah, blah, blah of this amount of time in a house for in the middle of nowhere for $50,000?
Yeah.
It's exactly that. And you're like, of course I would. But then they show you that like that might not go so great.
Yeah, and it has the vibe of an extended Twilight Zone episode. I think it definitely feels that way. I think even the information we got on this movie paints it to be kind of like, what's the name of that show, that British show, Black Mirror?
Yeah.
The name of that show, yeah, like kind of a Black Mirror-esque vibe.
Sure.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah.
I you know, there's a lot of things I like about this movie, but I do want to focus on one thing that I was just like, this, I don't know how necessary it is where you get the intro and the little interludes from one of the characters just kind of breaking up the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay, yeah. I don't think I've ever really been a huge fan of that, like, yeah. Where it kind of has like a reality.
Are you
show
talking about where the character in question here is talking about the events?
In
is
a,
that what you're talking about?
White room. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
It
normally
starts out that way. It pops in like every 15, 20, 30
minutes. I normally
minutes.
Don't dig that too much, but in this movie, it kind of didn't bother me as
it
bad
kinda,
as I
it
thought
works
it would.
With it.
It works.
You would be a fan.
It
of
works.
That.
There are a lot of people that think that that's a lazy writing device. I don't think in this case it was necessarily lazy. I think it was not integral to move the plot forward. I think you could have done it a different way, but it wasn't so ham-fisted that it bothered me or anything like that. I kind of enjoyed it, especially once you get to the end. I think it made more sense at the end.
Okay.
What was going on there.
Yeah.
I'll get into that once we get to the spoilery review.
But other than that, I did think the performances were really strong, and some of the stuff they got into later on, like when the plot started to develop, like mm-hmm. I'm going to say the last 20, 30 minutes of the film was very, very interesting. And then everything that led
fairly
up to
different
it.
Was,
yeah.
I went and read a few reviews for this one, and it's really getting dogged, but for the exact opposite of what I would dog it for. Mm-hmm. It seems like a lot of the reviews I'm reading are like, you know, you take such a good concept and you ruin it at the end. I think it's the exact opposite. I think he took a worn-out concept and he made it interesting at the end. I think he made it way more interesting by the end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think if we had seen more of what happens in the last 15 minutes, in the first hour and 15 minutes,
yeah,
I would have been way more intrigued.
Yeah.
Because I'll say I'm going to put it this way, it was the hole in the wall scene that initially made me start to really kind of perk up, right?
Yeah.
And I was like,
yeah.
Oh, what the fuck is that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then going back and looking at some of the subtle things that they do to tell you what's going on is really cool. The Christmas present scene where he gets the Blu-ray. Do you remember that scene?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thinking back to it, that was one of the very first, like, I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Something's off here. Something's off here.
Mm-hmm.
This movie, I rated it on Letterboxd, and I gave it a pretty glowing review, mostly for the acting and a lot for the direction and the cinematography. The story needs work.
I think the musical choices are really good too.
They
just
were
like putting it over the top.
I was
gonna
say that. I normally wouldn't like music like that. It all fits really well, and
it
was
does.
Good. None of it was like annoying,
uh-huh.
really.
And
it
was
really
it was really natural.
I figured you would like it too.
There was a really natural way to get to the montage, because you knew a montage was coming, like of them exploring the house
it
together.
It's a good fun montage.
It is. It is. And they have a really fun way of starting the music for that montage. They put their record on, and it just, you know, it goes from there. And it's a fun it's fun.
I want to hang out in that house.
I will say, the scene where there's a scene where they do some drugs. They're in a house alone for 30 days, right? They're going
to
do some drugs. So no spoilers here. This is not a spoiler, I don't think. If it is, I'm sorry, it's minor. They're doing some drugs, and someone comes to their door. And that scene was really troubling for me. I was like, oh, fuck.
I don't like when anybody comes to the door, really.
But that scene, man, when he comes up and carries her away, and I'm like, ooh, what the fuck? What the fuck am I seeing right now? It was insane. So before we get to the spoilers, I'm going to say that I rated this on Letterboxd. I gave it a 3.5 out of 5. I thought the idea.
I thought
the idea was really, really interesting. I think the concept was super fun, especially at the end. Man, that ending, that's what won me over for this movie was the ending. And that cool twist. But I gave it such a glowing review. Well, what I think is kind of a glowing review compared to the other reviews it seems to be getting. The acting the two main characters, especially her, man, she really turns in a hell of a performance. He does a really good job too. His twist where his character changes is really, really fun and gets really, really interesting. They both did a great job, and there were some really vulnerable moments in this movie that you would have to be very comfortable with yourself to do these scenes. And I'll just leave it at that. But I gave it a 3.5 out of 5. What would you rate it?
3. I'll give it a 3.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
And Brittany, you said you're right about the same place.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think we all enjoyed it. It was a fun watch. Am I going to rush out and buy it? Probably not. Probably not. When I see it sitting around one day, I'm definitely going to pick it up, just have it in my collection. I think it's an interesting one. If someone ever comes to me and they're like, I want to watch an interesting sci-fi movie with kind of a horror bent, that is definitely one I'll throw their way. Definitely.
I might be tempted to get it just because of, you know, the release possibility. Just like, hey, yeah. Look, we got this kind of, well, not early, but pretty great.
Yeah.
I was thrilled.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Okay, so
all right, so spoilers. Spoilers.
Oh, here it is.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. whoop. Here comes some spoilers.
Alert.
Okay, so the part in this movie I wanted to get to more than almost any other was the scene in the bathroom.
Yep, okay.
Oh my God, what the fuck, dude? So Phil. I think we can call you Phil. Philip, you directed this movie and you wrote this movie. You wrote, I'm going to say, one of the most realistic cum scenes I've ever seen in my entire life. The part where she's picking up the condoms and it's dripping out of it.
Oh.
Oh, you're talking about the part with the curly.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get to that in just a minute, too. There's a lot of shit that goes down in the bathroom in this.
The only thing on Matt's mind was the cum.
Oh, because it was so gross
it's
and
so
realistic.
No,
I was like, oh.
That's your
man.
Props master there. You got to chalk that up to the props master.
Yeah, but just writing that scene where it's... There aren't a lot of movies that'll go that far. You know what I mean? Like, other movies would have pulled back and
just shown
a hole in
a
the
hole.
Condom wrapper. You know what I mean?
She's picking up loads.
Not everybody's going to show her picking up loads and basically, like, squeezing them out the end. I mean, it was insane.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the other scene you're talking about where she tries to, abort the baby.
She tries to abort a baby with a curling iron because crazy guy... is just really coming at her, and all he cares about is this baby. So she's just trying to get a, like, you know.
Oh, dude, there was
in the pressure.
There was a badass scene too where she said, "Oh, what do your opinions end at my body?"
Yeah,
or something like that. I was like, "Holy fuck!"
You have any original opinions that aren't about my
that
body?
That are about my body, something like that. Oh man, that was a line. That was
so
a line.
From the beginning of the movie, he's like, "She's dead. She killed herself. She's." So you know that from the absolute beginning of the film.
Yeah.
So as soon as I saw that the gift for her was the curling iron, I was like, well, that's how she's killing herself.
Yeah, I thought that she...
And I totally thought
she
was going to die from that.
I did not see the insertion coming. I thought she was just going to throw it in the tub and jump in. That scene where they're both in the tub, I thought she was going to get out and be like, I need to get more wine, and then just throw it in there with them.
Mm-hmm. I thought something like that was going to happen too. And for some reason, I labored under the delusion this entire movie, like the whole runtime of this movie, thinking that he said she shot herself. And I guess I just put that in there.
I kind of didn't think it was going to end that way either.
Yeah, and it was, this movie has... The twist is where this movie gets really, really good. When, so first off, let's talk about him devolving. When I loved the Shining-esque scene where she goes in and opens up his book and flips to the page. And I'm thinking the whole time, I'm like, oh, we're about to see this homage to The Shining. And it's fucking baby names.
Yeah.
The other thing that I noticed too that Brittany called out first, and then I noticed something else. Did you, what is it?
The piano, he can't remember the keys.
Oh, yeah, he can't remember the keys. Yeah, so he can't remember the keys. That's one of the earliest looks at it when she gives him the Blu-ray, and he says, "Oh, I love it." And she's like, "I bought that for you because you hate it. It's a gag gift." Mm-hmm. And he's just staring. She's just staring at him.
Yeah. And it just keeps getting weirder.
And it just keeps getting weirder from there. But I think one of the he doesn't kiss like her man does. It's got all these scenes where it just devolves. But the other thing I noticed too, and I'd really love to talk to the director and see if and the writer to see if he put this in there on purpose. So if you go back and watch the scene on the scientist, the doctor's desk, there's a rose inside of a glass, like Beauty and the Beast. And then when he's pulling the names back, when she's looking through the names in his book, one of the first names you see is Belle. Like from Beauty and the Beast.
So I think it's just carrying in with the romance theme.
Yeah, the romance theme or Beauty and the Beast, right? Mm-hmm. It's, this idea of captivity, right? Because if you go back and watch Beauty and the Beast, that's really what it's about, is captivity.
Yeah, they can't leave.
They can't leave, right? So, yeah, super, super interesting stuff. A few nods to The Shining that I was a big fan of. And I want to talk just from a technical aspect. The scene, just the shot, really, not the scene. The shot where it comes up to the house from a distance is a really unnerving scene for me, or shot for me for some reason. I really like that shot. And then, just how off the fucking rails he goes. Like, again, just like the last movie we talked about, you're seeing a character, you're seeing a guy who plays this very sweet character just devolve into this fucking monster right before your eyes.
Yeah, he becomes baby crazy.
Oh, yeah, he's nuts.
It's got to be something to do with his programming, I guess. I don't know. In some ways, this kind of reminds me of a movie we watched, the new Invisible Man.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that, too.
Brittany even said that. She was like, oh, man, this... I think that's... We're living in a more conservative country right now. Well, sorry, we have more conservative leadership right now. So I feel like a lot of people are worried about and seeing the erosion of reproductive rights and women's rights and, you know, the Me Too movement, body autonomy, consent, all those different things. So I think you're seeing a lot of movies centered around that. I'm not surprised that we're seeing them right now is mostly what I'm saying. Just because of the time that we're living in. So really, really interesting take on all of that. But I think we need to get to the real spoilers here.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the end of this movie.
And this is where this is where everything starts to get real exciting.
Yeah, so early...
Where it almost takes a shift to like a Bond movie.
It does. Sort of crazy.
The whole movie, you're in a bottle episode kind of thing. And then that bottle breaks.
And then you have the cabin in the woods scene. Where they find the tunnel, right?
The discovery phase.
The discovery phase is what I like to call it. The discovery phase of this movie gets really interesting. So I had mentioned earlier in the spoiler-free section that there was... there's a scene where I think he knocks the hole in the wall.
No, she's on acid and she opens the door too hard.
Gotcha. She opens the door. I missed that part.
Oh,
I didn't know what happened.
Well, the way she looks at it later, it almost feels like she can't remember that and thinks maybe he punched the hole in the wall.
He went all Kyle. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I gathered from it is that... Because they zoom in on it really slow.
There's a hole.
It's because she can hear through it for the first time.
Yeah.
There's voices coming through.
There's a hole in the wall. Where the boys can see it all. No, I'm playing. There's a hole in the wall for you to put your dick through. No, I'm playing again. There's a hole in the wall, and she looks through it, and she starts to see people. Like, in this...
Downstairs region.
Downstairs area.
Like a downstairs.
It's not really there in the house.
Yeah, it's not part of the house at all. And it's really unnerving, that scene. And am I right or wrong that it was the handler? That she sees, right?
It might have been.
I think it was
supposed to be
a handler.
Maybe some of the military-esque dudes.
Yeah.
The henchmen?
So,
they're henchmen. He's a bad scientist. They're henchmen.
The first time you see this, she almost dismisses it in a weird way. And I'm like, go... What are you doing? Don't just dismiss it. But
she's on a lot of sedatives.
And she's in a scientific study,
and
right?
She's also been mentally abused by this guy at this point, not to trust herself.
Yeah,
she's also
fair point.
Pregnant, and she's got baby brain.
Fair point. So, eventually, she thinks she's killed this guy because she stabs him a bunch with a fork. And she busts the wall and goes down into this room and finds clones of the same woman. The same woman over and over and over again. And it's their handler. It's this woman who's been their handler the entire time. And you find out that this doctor isn't really trying to figure out anything about the honeymoon phase. He's testing clones. He needed people to clone so he could test how they would work, all that stuff. It's got this really tragic scene where his wife, one of the clones, wakes up, right? Because she's going to kill it.
Yep.
And he explains to the clone what he's done. And he says, like, I love you. And she says, I don't. And it's just this really tragic moment, man.
He's very Mr. Freeze about, like, mm-hmm. his vanity or, like, yeah. his self-interest of trying to make sure he can get her back.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's sad. Boy, that was a gut-wrenching moment for me. I really liked that scene a lot. They all die. Cut to.
That is kind of weird and random. Yeah. Like, it's just, bloop, dead.
I also do want to say this. She had some pretty good aim for just accidentally shooting all those guys who were in all that body armor.
Close range with that kind of gun, you really don't need aim.
I guess.
Yeah, automatic rifle.
Yeah.
Easy,
she's just whatever kind of pointing.
Yeah, it was a cool scene though, and the slow mo made it even funner. She has to pick between whether one's the clone or one's her actual boyfriend. She kisses one of them, and
she's like, "No."
She can't really decide.
Yeah.
She's real torn.
I found the whole thing where it's like they saw you do it to him and then they did it to me. Okay.
They both had it.
Yeah.
I figured they both had it. Clones.
Yeah. At the point where like she has just shot everyone, I'm like, make them say it. Make them say it right now while you're just there.
Say the safe word, goddammit. And then they both say it. Which made it even kind of weirder.
Yeah, because
I thought that was gonna fix it and solve the problem.
Me too. And I was like God damn it!
Oh, it's
no.
really him.
So then
you have no idea.
Then to spoil the end of this movie, she kills one of them and goes with the other one, and it goes through like they're married and they're on their honeymoon and they're banging again. Which, by the way, this has so much banging in it. Still could have used about 50% more banging, but it had a lot of banging in it. Some really like really intense. I was like, wow, this is crazy. Like I remember Brittany was like, holy shit, he just got up in there, and I was, it's. The end of the movie was, oh man, when she realizes it, and then he kills her, and he just talks to her and tries to wake her up.
He's definitely a clone. He doesn't even know what killing is.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna say I didn't expect that ending, but the ending hurt, even though I kind of expected it, because we decided to watch two really nihilistic movies in the same night, because the end of that is not a fun ending. It's just really sad, and really fucked up.
He gets away with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll put that out there. He gets away with it, man.
Yeah.
I'll change my rating, because overall 3.5, but that fun, like, which one is it thing puts the end up to like a 4 for me.
Yeah, the last 15 minutes.
I like that kind of thing.
The fact that she chose wrong, I don't like it. But honestly, there might not be a right decision. They might have both been clones at that point.
That's what I'm thinking. Why would they just both work.
If they've got like 6 clones of everybody, then why not just bring in one of the other clones?
Yeah, easy enough. Easy peasy. I thought that too, but then it doesn't work for the narrative.
So what happened with that other couple?
I know. Yeah, the couple at the door. Now that we're in spoiler territory.
And, well, that's the thing is there should also be like, what, like 4 or 5 other sets of couples?
I do. And I want to see what happens to them.
They're like
that
down
was like,
hall or something.
That was
they're
like the fourth night. And she comes running up and he's just killing the shit out of her.
That's how fast they turned.
By the way, I did notice one thing that I'd like to bring up with whoever was in charge of continuity. Not to pick here, but one thing I did have that seemed a little odd, he clearly slammed her head against the glass, right? But then when they cut back to it, there's nothing on the glass. There's no blood, there's no, like, snot or anything like that. It's just clean, which makes me kind of think either they accidentally left that out or they left it out deliberately. Because she didn't really see that, but then I don't know.
The House
I don't know.
Of the Future has a self-contained
because, yeah,
north.
When they cut to, like, the videotapes, there's nothing on there.
There's nothing
so
there.
So is it just like, no, that would be pretty obvious if it was their clone tech, well, not their clone technology, their, like, virtual person technology, so.
Do you see blood when he slams it?
No, you don't see blood.
So it's, like, possible that he, like, hit her real hard, and then when he pulled her away, then she bled.
I don't know how you could possibly, there were at least, you have oil on your face, there would at least be an imprint.
Yeah.
There'd be something.
Yeah, I think that...
maybe I'm just being nitpicky here.
Maybe it's the angle and there's like it's like dark. I don't know.
I don't know. Either way, I enjoyed the shit out of this movie. I'm probably going to pick it up. And I think you should too. If you're listening to this, it'll definitely be the 29th. And the movie is out on DVD right the fuck now.
Pick it up.
Yeah, it's on Amazon. I think it was $20 on Amazon. Go buy it. Go check it out. If you don't want to spend a full $20 on it, you can probably find it cheaper on video on demand or something like that. But it's a fun movie. It's a good fun movie to watch with the family. You can enjoy it.
You know, it's going to be one of those movies where you definitely want your parents sitting in the room with
you. Oh, please. Yeah. Get them in like, there.
You know,
the doggy style sex scene 15 minutes into the movie will really get dad ramped up.
Yeah, a little something for daddy.
God, my parents would fucking watch that movie and I'd be in the room with them and it would just be awkward as hell.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So again, I'm not going to exactly call this movie Proud Me to Prove, but I think we all enjoyed it. And I'm anxious to see where Philip Carroll goes from here. I think he has some chops. I like his writing style. I like his ability to weave an interesting narrative.
Yep.
I'm anxious to see where it goes from here. So keep it up, man.
I want to see the makers of both movies keep
Keep
the hell going.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
Not a lot of these indie movies, they don't get a whole lot of love. You know what I mean? But
they should.
You know, there's some really, really good filmmakers out there.
I want to see a Hosts 4.
Have you watched anything else this week, Jared?
Oh man, I think I've watched a lot of stuff. Let me see if I can.
Well, while he's pulling that up, I'll go into a movie that I finally picked up. So I mentioned that we had gone to the
West
southern
Virginia
part of the state.
Vacation, yeah. Excursion, adventure, all my.
Yeah, you guys know COVID. We're sticking around the state. I like traveling around here anyway. But you know, with everything going down, I've managed to kind of stick in the area a little bit better.
Looking to your state's incentives, because
state
parks were cheap.
Yeah, state
free.
Parks right now. If you stay there and tell them you're a West Virginia resident, you get 30% off your stay, I believe.
Yeah,
super nice. But while I was out, we went to Beckley, all right, which is close to Virginia, and I went to Tamarack, which is badass. You guys, you should go there if you're ever in West Virginia. It's
full
all
West Virginia artisans.
West Virginia artisans. Yeah. So while I was there. I had been meaning to buy these movies for a long time. So there's a local filmmaker out of Charleston named Daniel Boyd. I believe he's a professor at the University of West Virginia in Charleston. And back in the 80s and early 90s, he made a few movies, right? So in 1988, he made Chillers, which I have not watched yet. In 1990, he made Invasion of the Space Preachers. Me and Brittany sat down and watched that. I actually technically watched it about twice because I rewatched it with her after I was way over halfway through it.
Find this and buy this as soon as you can, wherever you can find it.
I
love this movie.
Brittany loved it. I liked it a lot.
This is me approved.
I feel like you have to be a fan of fun, and you have to be kind to enjoy this movie. Because there's
like
a lot of missteps.
Yeah.
There's a lot of missteps. So, this movie is about a dentist and his, an accountant? Yeah, his accountant buddy. They go out into the woods of West Virginia for a week getaway from the nagging wife and the life of loneliness that the dentist has to deal with.
Their families don't seem that bad. These two just seem like assholes.
Yeah, they're assholes. Only one has a family. The other is single.
Oh,
but,
okay. Yeah, you're right.
They go out into the woods, and they come across Reverend Lash, who is this kind of weird-ass preacher who has a whip. This is real, by the way. Later on that night, they find an alien spacecraft, and they find out that that Reverend Lash is an evil alien from outer space, and he is out to enslave humanity. Lash is love. I want a shirt that says that. Lash is love. So, yeah. Brittany, what did you think? Well, you already said what you think.
I really want to stay at the little area that they go to.
Same. The mountain chalet.
Yeah, where they say it's around it's around Loganville.
Yeah, that's the other thing that hit me too that I really loved. So first off, I am a huge fan of Tudor's Biscuit World and Gino's Pizza. It's a West Virginia staple. They go to one in the movie, and Brittany were both loving it. But then as they're driving south out of Charleston, they say they're going to Loganville, West Virginia, which is clearly supposed to be an amalgamation of Chapmanville and Logan, which is exactly where I'm from. So loved hearing that. I thought it was super cool. Yeah.
Yeah. They actually filmed up around the Nitro,
yep, Nitro St. area.
Albans sort of area.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a cool, it's a fun movie. So I looked it up on Amazon. You can buy the double pack of this from Troma for, I'm thinking it's like $20 to $30 is the cheapest I saw it. I picked it up at Tamarack for $9.99 for both movies. It was worth every penny of that.
So if you're ever around there, go to that anyway.
Yeah, go and pick it up. Go to Tamarack, look in the DVD section, you'll find this. I recommend
the really fancy quilts and glass blowing and knickknacks, and then randomly stumble upon that. It's also there.
When I bought it, the lady looked at me like this lady.
Do we have that?
She's
here?
Like, I walk up, she's like, oh, hey, honey, how are you? How's everything going today? I'm like, oh, I'm good. She's like, you find everything you're looking for? I'm like, yeah. She's like, all right, sweetie. And she picks it up and stares at it for a minute. She's like, well, that looks, I need to watch that, I guess. Like, she was trying to say something nice, and I'm like, I've never seen either one of us. I've just been wanting to watch him. I said, he's a filmmaker from around here. She's like, yeah, I figured. She was trying to be nice, because you have to.
Isn't that pleasant? Oh, my God, what the hell?
Yeah, well, in Tamarack, you have to be from West Virginia to have your stuff in there, so I don't know why I told her that. And she said, well, maybe.
Excited.
She's like, well, maybe I'll buy it, and I'll have a weekend. I was like, I can't recommend that yet. I didn't even want to tell her to, because I felt really bad. She took it home and was like, watch this, kids. And they were like, what the fuck is this, Mom?
Just think of a whole place being like a mix of like an art museum and a Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, oh, it's fun, though.
And
that place is cool as hell.
And then there's that movie.
Oh, and I will say this. So the movie, I rated it on Letterboxd as, I think I gave it a 3 for charm. It's a very charming, fun movie. Definitely shot on video. Give this movie some love. And if you want to hear more about this at length, which I'm going to go into, you can tune into my other podcast, which is Mountains of Madness. I'm going to try to get Daniel Boyd to come on there and talk about these movies a little bit with me. I think that'd be kind of cool. Maybe we could even sneak him on here to talk about it once Jared has a chance to check him out. I'm going to reach out to his people and see what I can do.
Half a point increase for titties.
Mm. Yeah, there's definitely some boobies. There's definitely some boobies.
And so
some butt.
Much 80s rat tail and mullet.
Oh, yeah.
It's so glorious. Yeah.
If you're after that, tune in and watch it. So
there's
the other thing
Windbreaker
that I want to say while Jared's getting his movies put together, I am going to recommend Fayetteville, West Virginia, if you're a foodie or anything like that.
Do it for sure.
We went to a few places. So first off, we went to Secret Sandwich Society, which is always just fucking amazing.
And the Grove.
We actually got to eat in the Grove this time, which is kind of their little concert hall.
Do that if
you're on top of Secret Sandwich Society. We also found a place called Cathedral Cafe, which if you're in the area and you can stomach hippies, go do it. It's fucking awesome. It's really, really good.
They have a raw juice bar that we did not attend.
We did not attend the raw juice bar.
Honestly,
Brittany wanted to.
We were stairs and we were hiking and I was tired.
Yeah, we were really tired. But Cathedral Cafe was also super good, as was Pies and Pints. They're always good.
And the Pink Pig.
Oh, the Pink Pig. Yeah, there was nobody there. That was some good barbecue.
If you love barbecue, get there. It's so wholesome and cute.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a little... You're in a garage.
Yeah.
You're in like a renovated garage, and there's like a little fridge that's got bottles of soda, and it just takes you back to like... classic
takes
stuff.
You back to a simpler time.
Yeah, I was going to say it. Then I was
what
gonna
is
not
wrong
say
with
it.
The cat?
I don't know. The cat hates me.
Yeah, she's being a jerk. All right, so what else, Jared? What do you got?
I watched the two movies you gave me a while ago. I'm trying to remember the name. Jamie Lee Curtis is one of them.
Oh, Terror Train.
Yes, I watched Terror Train, and I...
What'd you think of that?
I really enjoyed that one.
That's a great that was fucking a lot of slasher, fun. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was kind of obvious from the beginning, but I still liked how, like, there might be a point where you're like,
yeah,
maybe not.
Okay, yeah,
sure.
It's a good movie.
And then the other one...
what was it about?
Basically, frat guys being dickheads...
Was it a slasher?
There's the scene that would not fly today where they do a mass shooting on campus.
Oh, God! Final Exam?
Final Exam.
Whoa, I love that movie. You didn't love that?
It had its moments.
I told you about that scene before you watched it, remember? When you took it that night, I was like, you're going to find a scene in this, and you're going to tell me... I literally told him this, by the way. I told him, you're going to watch a scene in this, and you're going to be like... How the fuck did they make that scene? Like, there's a pure, full-blown scene where they pull in with, like masks over their head and, yep. and pull a fake terrorist attack on a college campus.
Yep, and then the cop is angry that they disturbed him because it wasn't real.
So, speaking of that wouldn't be in something today, we watched Kingsman, and it totally is.
It is. Well, yeah. Is that scene in there?
In the Kingsman, there's like a huge church thing where they just obliterate each other.
This is a totally different thing. This is.
Is it though? Because he shoots up an entire church.
This is a fake one.
This is
frat guys thinking it's a funny prank.
It's really not.
That type of scene be done today, and then it kind of is.
My thing though is it's not. Had it been a Muslim terrorist running into a church, screaming Allah, and shooting them up, I would have been like, holy fuck. It was a white British dude in a church. What I'm talking about with this is, like, they're very clearly supposed to be Middle Eastern.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
no, I remember that
it's
now.
Not a, it is not a. It is not one that would...
I got you.
Like, today, that okay. would be, you know... Kingsman was good, though. I did, like... We did watch Kingsman. And I really dug the shit out of that movie. That church scene... By the way, deserves some recognition. Have you seen that movie?
I don't think so.
I'm going to leave it alone until Jared gets a chance to watch it. Take those Blu-rays with you and watch that first one. I haven't seen the second one yet. We can try to watch it this week and get to it next time. You didn't like Final Exam, though?
I'm not saying I didn't like it. It just was definitely less impressive than the Terror Train.
Well, yeah, Terror Train is like a top-tier slasher movie.
Yeah, that one was really enjoyable. I had fun all the way through. Well, it was just like, I don't know. The characters were diverse enough that some you didn't want to see die, and others you were really happy when that happened.
Mm-hmm. Is that the one where I want to be on that train?
Oh, yeah, because I like the magician. Who plays the magician? He's really famous.
I don't know.
Hold on a minute. Who plays the magician in Terror Train? Hold on a minute.
I don't know.
Let me see. I'm pulling it up.
Let's start guessing.
Up right now.
Is it?
I also watched... The Haunting of Hill House.
You watched that on Netflix, and I still haven't watched all that.
Yeah, that one was actually really... I really enjoyed that. It just kept getting better as it went along.
Oh, hell, it's David Copperfield.
Oh, shit, yeah, you're right. David Copperfield. Yeah, I definitely would be on that train.
Yeah.
And then on Shudder, I'm sure I watched a few things on Shudder, but the only one I can remember off the top of my head right now is Spiral.
Oh, I haven't watched Spiral yet.
It's actually really good. It's got a strong message to it, but it was a good watch.
Is that the one I wanted to see?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So by the way, in case you guys don't know, The Haunting of Hill House was made by a director that I'm going to say is very much, as far as I'm concerned, proudly approved. That's Mike Flanagan, the genius behind Dr. Sleep, which I absolutely love, and the genius, and I'm gonna stress one more time, genius behind Gerald's Game, which is maybe my favorite Stephen King adaptation of all time. Love it. Have you ever watched Gerald's Game before?
No. Well, I think we talked about it, but I have not got to see it.
Dude, Mike Flanagan touches, just watch it. Go watch it. Hush is even super good.
Oh, I've seen Hush.
Hush is very good. Have you seen Dr. Sleep yet?
Nope. It's on like a streaming service right now. But I've been meaning to.
Watch the director's cut with us. Don't watch it on streaming services.
Flanagan needs to be given all the things.
Okay.
Not all the things, but all the things Stephen King related. Let this mother... Dude, Mike Flanagan, if you ever have a chance to hear this, we're rooting for you to somehow get your hands on the Dark Tower series.
I swear to God.
Please do it.
Please.
Please. Give Mike Flanagan the Dark Tower. Just let the man work. Just let him work.
Dear baby Jesus, like, okay, please shine your light upon
us. Okay, since the last time we recorded, I think I also watched Countess Dracula.
Ooh.
Mm. And 30 Miles from Nowhere.
Okay.
Oh, also The Evil.
What's The Evil?
It's kind of like a haunted house thing where, like, this professor goes up to this house they're going to fix up with his buddy, takes one of his grad students with him, and then there is a locked cellar door that's hidden, and they take a crucifix.
Yeah. I've seen that.
I've seen The Evil.
Now I'm even imagining the poster.
There are more electrifications in that movie than I think I've seen any other place. Just haphazard electrocution.
This has more electrocutions than 10 movies combined.
The Hosts?
The Host has an electric... No, they have an electrocution.
It's electricity.
It is electric. Never mind. You're right.
Huh. Okay. Full circle.
All right. So what I will say, one more thing before... I guess we'll go ahead and cut it off here. No news stories tonight. We didn't have any. This is kind of a special night for us. So celebrate with us. We're finally big boys. We're a big boy podcast. And we're hoping to keep growing. So if you're listening to us and you keep listening to us, thank you. We appreciate you. The other thing I will say before I let you go, I did pick up a couple new releases that I want to give a shout out to. Vestron Video re-released Shivers, finally, an early David Cronenberg movie on Blu-ray, and Little Monsters on Blu-ray, which I haven't watched in forever. The Howie Mandel movie? Yeah. Yeah, I got it too, so I can watch it. Super stoked about that.
Both of those at Walmart. On the cheap.
Yeah, and we also haven't had a chance to talk about our experience at the Riverside Drive-In for the September Monsterama yet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't talk about it at all.
Oh, I think there's one thing we need to put in there here real quick.
Yeah.
We were not paid or anything for our reviews of our movies.
Yeah, we're not paid for anything. If you want to pay us...
We are willing to sell out. Brawny Paper Towel, we're talking to you.
Yeah, Brawny.
We'll take favors being serviced.
Oh, this is actually a really good... If your mom has... If your mom has ever had her head bludgeoned to mush by a possessed monster, or if you've ever had cum just drip right out of the end of a condom, Bronny could clean up both of those messes ASAP.
Absolutely. And if you don't know what to do with your heat-seared vagina, Bronny paper towel, just put
Bronny's
it right in
gonna
there.
Bronny's going to do it. Yep. Heat-seared vagina.
After you've cauterized that cunt, just...
Oh, Brittany.
Paper towels right up there. And
Bronny will take care of it like no other. I think that you'll find that it sticks to the wounds a little bit less than a lot of other paper towels.
I know that for a fact.
Yeah. So, Bronny, if you'd like us to stop mentioning you in our podcast, send us money.
Send us money. We'll stop talking about you.
I don't think it'll clean up spit just drooling down all over your face.
That is a really intense scene. So, do you want
to
save...
shy away from that. It was
do you guys
want to
save the Monsterama talk for the next episode?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes,
okay, cool. Cool, because I want to talk about the movies I picked up while I was there, because I'm really excited about it. But we'll save it. So this has been Proud Me. This has been
Freak
an uncharacteristically
edition.
Short episode of Proud Meat at only an hour and 15 minutes, or how long is it right now?
Yeah, Proud Meat Review Edition.
Yeah, we just did some, we normally review a lot of movies. This is our first time doing this. So yeah, if you're listening to this and you asked us to do this, you asked for it. Either way, what I'm going to say is The Hosts is not out yet. It hits video on demand on October 2nd, and I highly, highly, highly recommend it. It is officially Proud Meat approved. Brittany, if you would like to make a little logo, get that out to the team over there that made Hosts.
Like a Dove Award.
Yeah, like a Dove Award, but for nastiness.
You know, when
they
re-release it on DVD the next time, they're going to want that seal on there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So make a little Proud Meat approved logo. I'm dead serious. And send it over to them.
Like
a drippy dog.
Yeah, it's got to be a drippy hot dog in a condom. But
you just make it the zipper dog.
All right, so yeah, Proud Meat approved. Hosts, the other movie that that we watched, and again, Hosts video on demand, October 2nd. Give it some love. It's a really good movie. When you hear this, it probably won't have been out yet, but you know, give that a shot if you want to check out what I'm going to say is one of the top horror movies of the year. Really good. The other one that we watched, the Honeymoon Phase. is on DVD September 29th. So please go out there and give that a little bit of love too. Again, Philip G. Carroll Jr. directed that and wrote it. And I think he did a really fantastic job. Can't wait to see some more. Yeah. So this has been Proud Meat.
Proud Meat.
I would say get both of them as Christmas presents and make people watch them on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
There
you go. Yeah. Yeah. They both have a Christmas theme. There you go.
Holidays, man.
Break up that Christmas story for 24 hours and watch these instead.
And if you need something else for the holidays, we've got all your merch for you. We've got leggings. We've got shirts. We're going to have fanny packs. We're going to have weird leggings with Matt and Jared's faces on the butts.
On the ass.
Now, also, we've got cum towels.
We do have a cum towel.
We have it now.
Yeah, we absolutely do.
We have face masks.
So I'll let Brittany...
Very appropriate.
I'll let Brittany take us out with where you can find us. Go ahead, Britt.
You can find us on Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Pocket Cast, anywhere that you can listen to fine podcast and shows and things and music and your mom nagging you in the night and... we're available on Twitter and Facebook and sometimes Instagram.
All right. And then the new Proud Meat.
The Proud Meat merch is available on Teespring. Or you can go to our Facebook page or Twitter, and we've got links there.
And the new Proud Meat catchphrase, eat butts and bust nuts. This is good Proud Meat. That's it. Eat butts and bust nuts. Do it. Either way, you'll need brownie after. Oh, fuck.